Okay, so we are on Daf Chof Vov Amud Aleph. And if you remember, in the last Sugya, we saw quite a strange story, but we're going to see it's going to get even more strange. So let's just briefly recap what we saw. The story was told in the Gemara that Resh Lakish met two other Amoraim, Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon ben Yehi Tzedek. They were on the way to be Ma'aber the Chodesh. So he decided to join them to see how this is done. And he saw on two occasions what looked to him like somebody was being over an Issa in Shemitah, plowing the land or pruning. And his reaction was, look at that, as a Kohen who's transgressing Shemitah. Why did he make reference to the fact that he's a Kohen? We'll soon see. In both cases, if you remember, the other Amoraim sprung to his defense and say, how do you know? There could be extenuating circumstances. Either he's working for a Goy or et cetera, different heterim. So we're up to in the Gemara where it says, my shna koin. It's exactly halfway down the Omud. The first word on the line is Beresha. Beresha, the last line of the word, the last word on this line is koin. Says the Gemara, my shna koin. Why did he mention, why did he say that these people who are being machalal, who are being over in Issa of Shemitah, why do you refer to them and call them a Kohen? Obviously, they were not Kohenim. Had they been Kohenim, then there's no need to ask the question. Although, even so, why would you have to make mention of the fact they were Kohenim? But kids, so why is Kohen relevant, bichlal, to this story? The Gemara says, because Maishno koin, says the Gemara, Mishum de Chashidi Ashvius. Because Koyanim are suspect when it comes to Shvius. Why are they suspect? So look at, oh, we'll see later on actually in Rashi. So Koyanim, for some reason, as yet unexplained, are suspect when it comes to Shvius. So therefore, when he saw these people, in his opinion, they were being over an Issa on Shemitah, he referred to them as Kohenim because it would be appropriate for a Kohen, because a Kohen, for some reason, is not as careful with the halachas of Shemitah as he may be. He's suspect. Now, why is that? And how do we know that? Says the Gemara, Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah, which they correct at the side of the Gemara to Ditanya, which is a Braisa. And it says as follows. Now, before we see this brisa, let's just remind ourselves of one of two basic rules of bitul. The Torah says, "Acharei rabim lahatois," you follow the majority. If you have a piece of non-kosher meat that falls amongst other pieces of meat which are kosher, and they all look identical, if there are three pieces, two of which are kosher, one of which is not, then that is botul baroiv, because the majority is kosher, and that will be mevatel the non-kosher. We know, for reasons that we will not get involved with now, that very often you don't suffice with just roiv, and you need shishim, 60 times amount. There is a halacha, however, with truma, which is different completely. Truma, if I've got ordinary, regular food, for example, chulin, which anybody can eat, and truma fell into it. Now, if it happens to be owned by a kohen, so there's no problem, he'll just eat the whole thing because a kohen's allowed to eat truma. But if I'm a non-kohen, so I'm not allowed to eat truma. So here, because truma is very kadosh, it will not be botel unless there's one in 100. Roiv does not suffice, shishim does not suffice. You've got to have 100 times amount keneged the truma in order for it to be bottled. Now, if indeed I have 100 times amount, then it'll be bottle. So then what will be the halacha? It's as if the truma is not here, and even a non-Kohen would be allowed to eat it. What happens if it falls into 1 in 99, but not 1 into 100? Then the whole thing is essentially deemed to be truma. So what would I have to do? I'd have to make sure that a Kohen eats it, because a non-Kohen would not be allowed to eat it. But now the Brice that we're about to see talks about a case where truma fell into shvis. So you've got a whole barrel of food full of shmita produce, which has all the halachas of shmita, and into that fell a bunch of truma. Now, truma has its halachas as well. Different halachas. There are halachas of truma, and there are halachas of shmita. So, for example, if it comes to shmita, it's true it can be eaten by anybody, but it's got to be consumed before the zman of biur, whenever that may be. Truma, there is no halacha of biur. So that'll be a chumrah of shmita. On the other hand, truma also has a chumrah. As we've just said, it can only be eaten by a kohenim and not by a non-kohen. So here we have to play carefully when we're talking about whether the truma is or isn't bottle. And that's what the Braiser says. So'o truma shenofla lemeo so'in shel shvis. If you've got one so'o is an amount of truma, which falls into 100 so'in of shmita. Says the Braiser, one word, ta'ale. What does ta'ale mean? It'll be bottle. Ta'ale means it'll be bottle. So that truma is considered, for all intents and purposes, as if it's no longer here. And therefore, the barrel of 100 shvius is unchanged and still now has the status of shvius. The only thing that has changed is it used to be 100 sa'a. Well, now there'll obviously be 101 sa'a because truma fell in, but halachically, nothing changes because that truma is bottle, but echod. B'meah, 1 in 100. Says the Braiser, what happens if it's pochos mikein? If it's less than 1 in 100, it's 1 in 99. Then yirkavu. Yirkavu means what? You're going to have to let it rot. The truma cannot be bottle, cannot therefore be eaten by a non-kohen. So we're going to have to let it all rot. Now, what's the obvious question? Says the Gemara, Vehavinon bo, and we ask, Amai yirkavu? Why on earth do you have to let it rot? There's nothing osa over here. It happens to be that a non-kohen is not allowed to eat it. That's true. But why can't we merely suggest, Yimkerenu l'kohen? Well, let's sell it to a kohen. Bidmei truma, for the value of truma, which we'll explain in a moment. Chutz midmei oisasa. So let's explain. In the market, what costs more? Regular, normal chulin or truma? Truma costs less. Why does it cost less? Well, for simple supply and demand, because there's less demand for it, obviously, because only a kohen can eat it. So clearly, therefore, there's less demand, and if there's less demand, the price will be less. So now, what was the story? I've got 99 sa'a of shuma, in which, excuse me, 99 sa'a of shvius, in which one sa'a of truma fell in. So he said it's not bottle, because you have to have 100, you only got 99. So all of it is effectively considered truma. It's not obviously truma, it's effectively truma. Which means, therefore, it cannot be eaten by a non-kohen. It's got to be given to a
Jamie. Jamie.
Nachum, you're not on mute. So therefore, what am I going to do now? I've got a barrel of 100 sa'a of produce, 99 of which is shvi'is, one of which is truma. But it's all considered to be truma because it was never bottled. So a non-kohen cannot eat it. Now, I'm not mechuyev to donate that to the kohen. I'm only mechuyev to donate how much? One sa'a. Truma, the real truma, that has to be given to a kohen. And if you give it to a kohen, you're not allowed to charge for that. So, what am I allowed to sell? What do I have to give? One saw I've got to donate to the kohen, I cannot charge for. The other 99, which is really shmita produce, but it's got to be treated with the chumras of truma, therefore it's going to be given to a kohen, that I have every right to sell to the kohen. But for what value? For the cheaper value of truma. As we said before, truma costs less because there's less demand. So I cannot be, so it wouldn't be fair to sell to the kohen this shmita produce, which has the halachics of truma. It would be totally unfair to charge the full price. Because the only people in Klal Yisrael who can eat this are the kohanim. Therefore, there's very limited demand. And that, therefore, is the Gemara's question. Why are you telling me that it should all rot? Look at the Gemara again. Vehevinombo, we ask a question, am I Yirkavu? Why should it rot? Yimkerenu lekoyin. Why don't you just sell it to the koyin, the whole mixture? Bidmei truma, albeit for the value, the cheapened value of truma. Chutz midmei, besides for the value of oisei sa'a, of that particular sa'a, which is truma, obviously that cannot be charged for. So why do I have to let it rot? Why are you telling the poor old Yisrael, who's just unfortunately seen truma fall into 99 of shvi'is? So yes, he understands that he cannot eat it. Too bad, bad luck. The non-kohen cannot eat any of this because truma needs 100 to be bottled in, and it's not. I understand that. But why must I incur now this enormous financial loss? And you're telling me that the whole thing has to be discarded, let it become moldy. Why can't I sell the whole mixture to a kohen? Albeit I won't be able to charge for the one sa'a of truma, but I can charge for everything else, again, albeit at the cheapened value. So why are you telling me it's got to rot? Answers the Gemara. Va'omar Rabchia Mishmei Du'ula. So Rabchia said in the name of Ula, Zoi Seimeres. This clearly teaches us that Nechshedu Koyein Koyanim Ashvius. That's the end of the Gemara. You see from over here that Koyanim are suspect when it comes to Shvius. In other words, don't forget, it's true that we are giving all of this mixture Truma status because the Truma wasn't bottled. But what is it really? It's really Shmita produce. I'll be machmir, because it was not bottled, to not allow a non-kohen to eat it. But I must not forget that essentially what is it? It's shmita produce. And shmita produce has all the relevant halachas of shmita, first and foremost, that it's got to be consumed prior to the zman that's called biur. You cannot have shmita produce sitting in your home forever. You've got to check your calendar. When is the Zman of beer and you have to discard it? Whoops. And for some reason, Koyanim are suspect when it comes to Shmita. So if Koyanim are suspect when it comes to Shmita, I'm afraid to say that we have no solution for you. You cannot, obviously, as a non-Koyain, eat it yourself because the truma was not bottled, so it's all considered truma. You cannot either give it or sell it to a kohen because I'm concerned that you will not keep, you will not observe the halachas of Shemitah properly. Because Kohanim, and we'll see why in a moment, Kohanim do not keep the halachas of Shmita properly. So I'm afraid to say we have no solution for you, and you have to let it rot. And that's why Rish Lakish, when he saw these people working in the fields on Shmita, what did he call them? Oh, he's a Kohen who's working the land of Shmita. Why did he refer to him almost in a derogatory fashion as a Kohen? The answer is because Kohanim do not observe the halachas of Shmita to the way that they should. Reb Larry.
I just want to be clear. In my mind, it means, unless I'm wrong, the question really is, why are Kohanim more suspect to break the halachas of Shmita than a regular Jew?
That Rashi explains. Rashi is going to explain, and I'll give the game away. Rashi explains because the problem with the Kohanim is they say to themselves, well, clearly you see that the Torah is more lenient with us. We're allowed to eat truma, we're allowed to eat karbanas, even though other members of Klal Yisrael are not allowed to. So therefore they become very lax. Clearly the Torah is very lenient with us. We could basically almost do what we like. And apparently this developed into a general lenience of ignoring the halachas of Shmita properly. Therefore, when you got this truma that fell into the Shmita, we cannot now give this Shmita produce to the Kohanim. Now let's have a look at Rashi. There's a lot of Rashi to see. It's further up the Omud, the last word on the line, Ta'aleh. Says Rashi, Ta'ale, de truma, betela, truma is bottle, be'echod, umeya. One in 100. So if indeed it falls 1 into 100, it's bottle. What have you got left behind now? A whole bunch of Shmita produce. Vahashvias, what do you do now with this Shvias produce? Yoichel zar, even a non-Kohen can eat it. No problem at all. You do not need to give it a Kohen. But he has to be particular to eat it when? Koidem Zman Habir, before Zman of Bir. But if it's Lefochis, if it falls into less than 1 in 100, says Rashi, Lefochis Mimeo, comma, less than 1 in 100, De Havalei, now it would be, quote unquote, Meduma. What is meduma? Meduma literally means a mixture. But it's the specific word that we call truma mixed up into non-truma. When you have a mixture of truma and non-truma, and we're going to have to consider it as if it is all truma because a truma is not bottled, that's called meduma. Just as an aside, when a person cries in Loshon HaKodesh, we know that the word for a tear, person cries tears, is dema, dmois. Dema is the same letters as dimua. What is another word that's similar? When a person asks why, madua. Also, mem, dalad, ayin. What is the common denominator between all these words? They all denote a mixture. When a person asks, madua, why, what is he really asking? Things are all mixed up over here. Things don't make any sense. When a person cries at least in sadness, he's crying because things don't add up. It doesn't make sense. It's a dimua, it's a mixture. It's a mixture. All of these words obviously are related. Back to our Rashi. So if the truma falls into less than 1 in 100, to have a lay, maduma. This is what we call meduma, va'asura lezarim. Unlike in the previous case when the truma was bottle, it can be consumed by a zar, a non-kohen, but this cannot, because the truma is not bottle. So what did the Gemara say? The Bryce said, you've got to let it rot, to which the Gemara asked, why? Yimkaru lekohen, says Rashi, why can't you sell it to a kohen? Doho sharia lay, because it's permitted for him, truma. Remember, we're not talking about ma'acholes asuris. We're not talking about when nevela or chazir or basar b'challah falls into your food and is not bottled. Well, obviously you can't sell it to anybody. Nobody can eat it. Here, it's not macholis asura, it's truma. So all I've got to do is surely find somebody who's allowed to eat truma, namely a kohen. I don't have to give it to him for free, but rather let me sell it. Bidmei truma. What does that mean? Bidmei truma, says Rashi, kloima. That means to say bezoil, comma. Bezoil, cheap. Truma is always cheaper. Why is it cheaper? So Rashi explains, supply and demand. De truma ein domeho yikarim kecholin. Truma does not have expensive value like regular normal cholin. You know why? Lefi she'eino ru'uyo elo lekoyanim. Because it's not fitting for consumption for anybody besides for koyanim. So therefore, what is the suggestion over here? Kloima, therefore, what we're suggesting is yimkereno ba'alehem. Let the owners sell it lekoyanim. Bameh sheyochol, at a price that is able. In other words, it'll be the cheaper price. Chutz midmei hatruma. Besides, for the value of the actual truma, don't forget there's one saw of real truma. You can't sell that. Why can't you sell that? Shehu chayov lasitom lekoyim bechinom. Because that, the one saw of truma, you have no right to sell. That you've got to give to the kohen for free. So remember, what have I got over here? The truma fell into 99 of Shmita, which means I've got altogether now 100 sa'ah of food, 99 of which is Shmita, but can only be eaten by a kohen because we're considering it truma, and one is real truma. That one that's real truma cannot be sold. By the way, don't forget, this is all only true when it all gets mixed up and we cannot distinguish between one and the other. Otherwise, you'd simply take it out. But you can't, it's all mixed up. Therefore, why don't I do that? I should sell it, says Rashi. There's no problem to sell it. De muta limkor shvius, because you're allowed to sell Shmita produce, almanas, le'echol hu. The domeho koidem habiur. As long as it's going to be consumed before the biur, there's no problem. By the way, in Reb Chaim Brisker's yeshiva, the great Reb Chaim Brisker, when a bocher would want to join his yeshiva, so Reb Chaim would give him a test. But he didn't want to test him to see whether necessarily he's a Talmud Chacham. He wanted to see whether he had a sharp head, whether he thinks straight. So he used to ask potential candidates to his yeshiva the following question. We know if you've got an apple, for example, of Truma, if it falls into 100 apples of Chulin, then it's all bottle, no problem. One in 100, that's the proportion. So Reb Chaim Brisker asked this potential Talmid, what happens if I have half an apple of truma? The other half, I don't know, it's gone. But I've got half an apple of truma, and it falls into a box of 50 apples of chulin. Is that bottle or is it not bottle? So obviously, most Talmidim would say, for sure, obviously it's bottle. What's the difference? One in 100, half in 50, a quarter in 25, as long as it's a proportion of one in 100. Any bocher who answered that would not be accepted to the yeshiva. What is the real answer? Rabbi Yosef, you're the only one demuted. You can volunteer the answer.
I'm
It's
sorry,
not
you're
bottle.
not. It's not bottle.
Why?
Because there you have the number of entities. The half an apple is an entity, and the 50 apples are 50 entities. So one entity and 50 entities in that bottle.
Okay, Rabbi Yehuda, we cannot accept you to Reb Chaim Brisker's yeshiva at the moment. There's an
Oh.
even simpler answer. Anybody going to volunteer the answer? Yes, Reb Larry.
Because the first half of the apple is already eaten, as so therefore it's no longer buttle, it's already been eaten.
I'm sorry, we cannot accept you to Reb Chaim Brisker's yeshiva. You're all thinking too complicated. The answer is so simple.
Got to be one in 100. So.
Is one in a
Apples
hundred.
aren't truma.
You can have an apple of truma. Half an apple fell into 50 apples of chulin. Is it bottle? Okay, Reb Nachum, you're next. You're allowed to demute Rav Avraham, Rav Moshe Zelig. Somebody's got to get into the yeshiva here. Come on, somebody.
Half an apple frozen.
Half's considered as a full, so therefore it's not. So it can't be
You're saying
a
the same
bottle.
as Rav Eliyahu David. Too complicated. Okay, it's only Rav Moshe Zelig and Nachum left standing here. I'll put you out of your misery. The simple answer and the correct answer is, of course, it's not a bottle. You just take the half the apple out. It's only bottle when you cannot see the issa. Well, if half an apple falls amongst 50 apples, well,
Yes,
you can see the
you
half
can pull
apple.
it out.
If one apple falls into 100, well, I've got no idea which one is the truma. But if you know that the half apple was a truma, so take it out.
And I think
That's
that's
an
sorry.
unfair question for us, because we did not understand what the
That's
halakha
why I
was.
said, that's why I gave a hakdama before, and I said, I was leading up to this question, but obviously we're talking about that you do not know which one is the truma that fell into the Shemitah. So your half an apple will take out the half apple, you can see it.
I don't accept not being accepted.
Okay, you can push your way in. The number one rule of bittel, when it's bittel b'roiv, bittel b'meah, whatever it is, that I don't know where the issa is. But if I could see the
So
half apple,
I'm canceling my donation to that yeshiva.
okay, you can direct it to Darchi Yitzchok Building Fund. Okay, back into our Rashi. So for this was the big question: why must we let this whole mixture rot? I've got an Eitzah, sell it to a Kohen. It's true at a discounted price, but why do I have to throw it out? Says Rashi, one more Rashi: Nechshedu Koyanim. Unfortunately, the Kohanim are suspect. When it comes to the halachos of Shvi'ah, says Rashi, why? Nechshedu kohanim lahashois to delay Shvi'ah achar zman habiyur. They are not particular enough in eating the Shmita produce before the biyur. Why? Demoiru bo hetera, because they teach themselves a heter. They convince themselves that it's permitted for them. Why? Mishum de ishtaru. Ishtaru means permitted. Because it's permitted for them to eat truma, the kodshe kodshim, when it comes to karbonos legabayu for them. So what do they say? That clearly anything to do with holiness, holy things, the Torah is more easygoing with us. Truma is holy. We're allowed to eat it. Kodshei Kodoshim is holy. We're allowed to eat it. So too, v'hashvi'es nami kedushas ha'aretz. So too, Shmita, obviously, the fact that there is any halachas at all on the Shmita produce emanates from the fact that the land has kedusha. Oh, so it's once again under the category of adova shebikedusha. Anything to do with kedusha, kohanim sort of smooth talk and they convince themselves that it's muta. Therefore, we cannot now allow this person to sell, even at a discounted fee, this whole mixture to a kohen, because we're suspicious and we have to be concerned that maybe he will not be particular to eat it before biur. Kohanim are more lax. And that's why when Resh Lakish was walking in the street and he saw these two people working in the land, what did he say? Ah, well, look what I can see. It's a kohen who's not keeping Shmita. Why did he jump to this conclusion that it must be a Kohen? That's what the Gemara has just answered. Because unfortunately, Kohenim are suspect with regard to Shmita. How do we know it? We know it from this Braisa.
Rebbe, it's
Yeah.
a little difficult to swallow because it was supposed to be in the idea, like when you make a mezuzah, who's there a kohen here? Kohen first, kahanim are elevated. Kahanim live on a, you know, they can't, they have a different lifestyle. They can't marry divorcees, this and that. So it's a little choshed to say that they wouldn't follow this halacha, that all of a sudden they'd make a cheshbon to say, well, Hashem, you know, allows us freedom here and here. So even though the halacha says this, he probably means that. It's a little difficult to follow because they're the elite, they're supposed to be better than us.
I'm asking, it's a chiddush, but apparently that's what people were doing. Let's just briefly, we're running out of time, but have a look at the second last Tosis on the Amud. Tosis asks a very obvious question, which Rashi has already referred to. But one moment, how could you possibly sell this produce to a kohen? I thought you're not allowed to do schayra with peiros shvius.
Yeah,
says Tosis. Yimochru l'kohen midmei shvius v'im toima. What's going on? V'ha osur lasos schayra v'peiros shvius. You're not allowed to do schayra with peiros shvius. So how can you suggest that you should sell this produce, the whole mixture, to the kohen? What's going on? You're not allowed to sell shmita produce. The Tosis now says a tremendous chiddush. The Yeshloima, no, the schayra trading, doing business with peiros shvius, hainu kishemoichra b'shuk. That's only when you sell it in a marketplace, ke'en chanus, like a shop, like a store. The domi l'schoyer, that's really proper business. Avol pam achas, ke'en akroi ba'alma. If it's just a one-time thing, leka mishum schoyer. No issa schoyer. So Tosis is telling us a tremendous chiddush. We would have to check out whether we Paskin like this, lahalocha, I believe that not. But the only issa of schayra is literally when you're wheeling and dealing and trading, you have a whole store going. But if it's just a one-time thing, if something happens to fall in and the truma and the schmidt and the whole balagan, and as a one-time thing, I'm not interested now in making profit. I'm not interested in buying and selling. That's not why I plucked it in the first place, etc., etc. Then there's no issa of schayra. And that's why the Gemara suggested, why can't you sell it to a kohen? There'll be no issa of schayra. The answer came back, no, I cannot sell it to a kohen because a kohen is suspect. Okay, we have to hold it over here. We'll see the Gemara Mishnah's story continues rather peculiar fashion. Mr. Hashem, all being well, we'll see it tomorrow.
Sure.
Okay, be